been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Seattle edition of Shrimp Tank. This is our inaugural show, and we are broadcasting from our brand new studios at Cornerstone Financial Strategies. I'm one of your co-hosts, Brad Berger. I'm joined by my co-host, Dan Whedon of Toro Consulting. What we do here at Shrimp Tank is interview the brightest local owner, business owners, entrepreneurs, and business thought leaders, not only in the Seattle area, but the Pacific Northwest, and talk to them about the do's and don'ts of starting and running a business. Our goal is to inform and inspire you. Today, our guest is Griff, and we're going to introduce him in a little bit and talk about his incredible story. So, Dan, you know, it was a big night last night.
Mariners won. The Mariners won. Yeah.
Right. Notwithstanding that, we also had those of us that are political junkies, you know, the big countdown to the first presidential debate. So, did you have an opportunity to catch any of that?
Well, you know, what's funny is I recorded it because I had an event early in the evening, and then of course I wanted to catch the Mariners game, so I recorded it. And I've watched about 2/3 of it this morning and this afternoon. And so I feel like I've watched enough of it to share some thoughts on it. But yes, for me, from a historical perspective, I was a history major in college. And from a historical perspective, I found this to be maybe the most anticipated debate that I can remember going back. You know, and the first time I voted was 1984. So at least in my time as a voter, I think this is probably the most anticipated debate. And I thought that was pretty interesting from that standpoint.
Yeah, I remember the very first presidential debate that I ever witnessed. And I am going to date myself. It was 1976. And it was I was a dependent overseas in Europe. And of course, the only way to watch that was from film. So this was the Carter Ford debate.
Yeah.
And my parents somehow convinced me there was, I'm sure, a bribe involved to go to the movie theater and watch this multi-hour debate. But that was the first time I saw that. So, you know, obviously historic from the standpoint last night of the first woman to be elected to a major party,
yep,
and to be the nominee, as well as pretty much an outsider, somebody who is really kind of shaking things up.
Yeah. You know what caught my attention that I think for our listeners is of real importance is that in the first third of the debate, there was a lot of conversation about business, small business to be exact, and the role of small business in the economy, because the economy was the first part of it. And just listening to both of them talk about their views on the role that small business plays, I'm not sure we learned anything substantive from either, other than at least both of them saying that, and I think I heard Hillary Clinton say this the first, is that small business is where jobs are created, and she's right about that. You know, in corporate America, I think people go from one corporation to another or within themselves. Small business, the people that we're talking to, are really the job creators in this country, and the next president is going to have to figure out a way to make our lives easier from a managerial standpoint. I mean, there's a lot of challenges running a business, but we need some help.
It's exactly right. And since our show is all about entrepreneurs and business owners, it's the reason that I thought we would at least touch on that, not to turn this into a political show. But I am excited to introduce our very first guest to the Shrimp Tank here in Seattle. And he just has an amazing story, an amazing background. And I want to just tell you a little bit about our guest. Matthew Griff Griffin is a 2001 United States Military Academy graduate. He was commissioned in the field artillery. Between 2003 and 2005, Griff deployed four times to Iraq and Afghanistan with the 2nd Ranger Battalion as a company fire support officer. He planned and participated in over 100 special operations with direct action missions. And after departing the military in 2006 as a captain, Griff worked in the defense sector that eventually led him back to Afghanistan. That's an important part of this whole story, to assist with medical infrastructure development. And after witnessing the positive effects of economic growth in conflict areas, Griff co-founded Combat Flip-Flops with a fellow Ranger and began the mission to manufacture peace through trade. So Griff today serves as an operations officer for Team 5 as a means of continued global service.
Combat Flip-Flops is a veteran-owned, and I think that's so cool, a veteran-owned small business creating economic, educational, and life-saving opportunities for those living in conflict areas. Working with self-determined entrepreneurs affected by conflict, Combat Flip-Flops' willingness to take bold risks, build community connections, and create distinct designs communicate business, not bullets. Flipping the view on how wars are won. Through the brand's unarmed forces, which is consumers and supporters, 134 Afghan girls are going to school in 2016, and over 5,000 square meters of landmines have been cleared in Laos, allowing children to safely walk to schools and farmers to harvest their land. To keep up with Combat Flip-Flops, please visit www.combatflipflops.com. Griff, it's time to have a chat with you.
Awesome. Well,
this is where you get to listen. First, before we get going, I want to thank you for your service. My dad was a veteran, and I want to thank you for your service to our country. My understanding is here we are in Shrimp Tank. You actually swam with the sharks in Shark Tank, isn't that right?
Yeah, mask and flippers and everything. Yeah, it was a good time.
tell us a little bit about that.
It was a very interesting story. We've been fortunate enough to have some really good public relations and some good media hits, and one of the producers from Shark Tank read about it. He called me up on a Tuesday night and invited us to be on the show, and we spent the next 3 months preparing to be on America's number one entrepreneurial show. Coming from our community, we wanted to be the best ones on the show, so we trained pretty intently, and we went on with my fellow Ranger, Donald Lee, and I, and we got a deal from three sharks, Mark Cuban, Damon John, and Lori Grenier. And since that time, it's been like holding on to a rocket ship.
I had the privilege of watching that segment, and I just have to say it was the preparation that you indicated that you went through to obviously to prepare, rehearse, and to be incredibly polished was so evident. And that has to have come from your background at either the military academy at West Point, Ranger training, Army. Can you expand on that a little bit, Griff?
Yeah, perfect practice makes perfect, and it did come from the military. We had the hallway taped off. We knew the measurements. We knew the marks from the hallway to the door. We knew how long we were going to have to stand there. We knew the positioning of the sharks, and so we trained as we were going to fight. And so when it came down to game time, we knew where everything was going to be, and we knew how we were going to perform.
That's excellent. Yeah. So I know in the Navy, you know, if you're going to be a fighter pilot, they always give everybody, you know, they stencil your name along with your call sign or your nickname on the side of your aircraft. So what's the history of Griff?
Oh, man.
Is that from before the military, in the military?
It's actually from before the military.
Okay.
My last name is Griffin. There were 17 Matts in my high school. And so every Matt went by their last name, and it was just something that stuck.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
You know, something that you just mentioned about taping off and getting prepared for the show makes me think that from a strategic level, the military taught you a lot. Actually, the military taught you a lot about being strategic. One of the challenges a lot of small business CEOs and presidents have is finding time, or at least prioritizing time, to be strategic. Can you talk about how that has transferred into your life as an entrepreneur?
Definitely. A lot of people confuse strategy and tactics. And so strategy is where you want to go. Tactics are how you get there. It's the difference.
Yes.
And so in the military, they teach you the commander's intent. The commander has to paint the right picture of where you want to go. It's the same in business. If you're the CEO or a leader in a company, you have to paint the picture of success for your employees or your staff, and then they have to exercise the tactics or best practices to get toward that objective.
So if I can follow up on that, many small business owners were tacticians first. That's how they learned. And all of a sudden, that they, as their company grew, they're challenged to be a CEO, and taking that step from being the tactician to the strategist. What are some words of wisdom you can give to those folks?
Read. and patience. It's one of those things in the military, they teach you the 1/3, 2/3 rule. In any major planning or operation, the leader should give his initial warning order to his soldiers. Hey, here's where we're going. And then they retreat into planning, and they spend 1/3 of their time before launching for that mission planning, so that when they roll out, their junior leaders or the people that are going to actually enact it have a clear plan, a clear direction, they know the timelines, and they know what success looks like, and they have time to train and rehearse for it. And it just, you have to rehearse your company over and over to do that, to where everybody feels confident that you can plan your way to success.
So this is just an incredibly intriguing story, how Combat Flip-Flops came to being. So Griff, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs will have an idea or they'll have a situation that tends to spark that flame that then turns into their business. So what was that for you?
I was in a combat boot factory in Kabul, Afghanistan in 2009. Mm-hmm. And I was standing there watching 300 men and women go to work. And each one of those people supported 5 to 13 family members. So the social impact was enormous. The prosperity that was being created in a community as a result of business is inspiring to me. It felt like as a service member, we had created the opportunity to help all of these people, and this was the manifestation of it. Mm-hmm. So that was a very positive experience in my life to see that. And I was standing in this factory and I looked to my half left, and there was a flip-flop thong with a combat boot sole punched through it. I'm sorry, a combat boot sole with a flip-flop thong punched through it. And I thought, hey, this is really niche and cool. When these guys stop making combat boots, they're going to have to figure out how to make something else. I bet you Americans would buy that, and we could keep these people working and keep that positivity going in that community. And so that's how Combat Flip-Flops started.
Right. Yeah. And tell us a little bit about your journey, because that's a long ways away. And how long ago was that?
That started in 2009. We sat around and we batted the idea back and forth until we finally brought on our third partner, Andy Suri, who is our president operations manager. And he had the grit and the wherewithal to deal with two Army Rangers that were creative types to actually put everything down on paper and create a product. And so we spent all of 2011 testing guerrilla marketing on social media, whether or not people were going to like our product or idea, sold all of our things of value, found a consultant to build us some footwear prototypes. And we had, at the end of 2011, 3 duffel bags full of footwear that we took to a trade show in Las Vegas in January of 2012 and launched Combat Flip-Flops by walking it around trade shows, showing them to people and talking to media. So that's how we started there. And it was an overwhelming success that we weren't prepared for.
Well, you know, what that tells me, though, is there's a certain level of patience that's involved, too. And I know in business, it's easy to become impatient. You started in 2009, really, I think I heard you say 2012. There's a lot of work that went in. How do you deal with the being patient part of it? Is that something that you picked up from the military as well?
We call it tactical patience.
Okay. Or
taking your tactical pause to waiting for the situation to develop. And yeah, I'm sure you see it in your inboxes daily, but something will go wrong and you'll see 15 or 20 emails go back and forth, and you could inject yourself in the middle of it, or you could wait till the answer to kind of self-present.
Yeah. Dan, I think that's an important point that, you know, for those of listening to the podcast, and we want to thank everybody who's listening, is the fact that there's that old adage, you know, I've been working 20 years to be an overnight success. I think a lot of people just think it all of a sudden somebody wakes up one day and there it is, just handed to them on a silver platter. And I don't think for most entrepreneurs, that's exactly how it works.
Yeah.
When you started, though, in 2009, in your wildest dreams, 7 years later, did you see yourself here?
To be honest, I thought we would be more successful. So let's get to it, people. Buy some flip-flops.
No more patience.
No. We're just really you know, looking forward to spreading our message, and we thought we had a good idea. We hit a couple stumbling blocks just on a production side due to quality assurance and immaturity in running a manufacturing business that we thought would be ahead of where we are now. And that's, I think, every entrepreneurial story is you think you're going to be a millionaire by next quarter, and you find out the truths in your P&L statement by the next quarter.
Right. So. I love movie quotes, and I think you're going to find that. I should probably be better prepared, but I think it was a John Candy moment in one of his movies when someone asked how he was doing. He said, "I'm still $1 million short of $1 million." So with that, I think we're going to take our first quick break here. We're going to come back and talk to Griff more about combat flip-flops. I know there's a couple of areas that we want to go into. And again, we just want to thank everybody for joining us on today's inaugural edition of the Seattle Shrimp Tank.
The Seattle Shrimp Tank podcast is brought to you by Cornerstone Financial Strategies. Financial planning is a lot like owning a sports team. If there's no one coordinating the team members, each will do what they do best individually, but lose as a team. Why? No one knows what the other's game plan is. At Cornerstone Financial Strategies, we understand that people try to hire the best professionals, attorney, CPA, financial advisor, etc. Each for their specific expertise would often fail to have them communicate as one team with the same goals, your desires and values. This is why at Cornerstone Financial Strategies, we offer values-based comprehensive financial planning. And since money is not the most important thing in life, we ensure your custom-catered, personalized solution will take into consideration your most important goals aligned with your most deeply held values. For more information, visit us on the web at www.liveyouridealife.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC, financial planning and investment advice offered through Financial Advocates Investment Management, a registered investment advisor, DBA Cornerstone Financial Strategies, LLC, and is a separate entity from LPL Financial.
So thank you very much, Executive Producer Amber, and thank you to the Securities and Exchange Commission for basically making the disclosure about as long as the commercial. So welcome back to the Seattle Shrimp Tank. I'm Brad Berger. I'm joined with my co-host, Dan Whedon. Today's guest, fascinating story, Matthew Griffin is with us, the CEO of Combat Flip Flops. And I want to talk to you a little bit about a comment that you made earlier, Griff, because I think it's fascinating, and I think it's an area that a lot of entrepreneurs really struggle with trying to learn. And I know that you guys are just really proficient in social media. Can you talk a little bit about that and how important that is?
The stat that got me was people spend 74% of their internet time per day on Facebook. That's an average of 41 minutes per day. As a business owner, I could go and I could advertise in a whole bunch of different places, but am I going to get to see that customer? Are they going to get to see me? Are they going to get to hear my message? And if people are spending that much time per day looking at a platform, then I need to talk to my customers there. So it was at that moment we knew that social media had to be our prime platform, because that's where the market is. People don't spend 41 minutes a day in a shoe store looking at flip-flops.
You're right. And it's obviously much more inexpensive than it was years ago to advertise for. In some cases, it's free or virtually free.
No, it's not free. You got to pay.
Tell me about it then.
So Facebook advertising platform, if you want to have customers see your ads and you want to be able to figure out how to measure your advertisement, you have to A/B test your advertisement, your copy, what your product landing pages look like. Everything has got to be dialed from start to finish. From the moment that customer scrolls up and sees your ad to the time they check out all the way through the cart, it has to be a very positive and thorough experience.
You said what kind of a test?
A/B testing.
A/B testing.
Which A/B testing means I have an image of an AK-47 on a beach or an AK-47 on a piece of sidewalk.
Okay.
Yeah, which image are people going to respond to better? And social media will give you that data. They're going to tell you which one clicks more. You could say flip-flops made by Army Rangers across the top, or it could say flip-flops that put little girls to school across the top. Which one gets more clicks? And pretty soon you see it all start whittling down toward the perfect advertisement that's going to drive traffic to your business. Because in the end, all marketing should be measured. The saying is, if it's worth doing, it's worth measuring. If you're going to go for social media and you're going to go for advertising, you need to measure the effectiveness of that advertisement and how it's going to affect your business, because it's a business.
So Facebook, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So Facebook, I know, has those type of analytics. I've also started seeing that Twitter does Twitter ads. LinkedIn does LinkedIn ads. Is Facebook your number one, or are there some other social media sites, YouTube, anything else that has been very successful for you?
Facebook is the big boy.
Okay.
It generates the regular rate of return. Now that Facebook and Instagram are working together, we're starting to see those numbers come in line.
Okay.
Twitter still is great for engagement, public communication, which I think is the benefit of the platform, and news distributions where we put all of our quippy stories and things that we like. But we just have not yet see it drive the engagement and return, just because there's so much on that platform to really drive an ad that people see and want to click through all the way through to buying. It's just Twitter is just so full. People just, they don't buy on that platform.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So Griff, you don't strike me as somebody who, you know, subscribes to the theory, you know, even a blind squirrel gets a nut every once in a while. This seems like it was probably a pretty well thought out process. How did you go about, because I think most individuals' familiarity, at least in the early stages with regard to Facebook, is what they do personally. So how does somebody like an entrepreneur or a business owner or somebody who's interested in taking their business onto a Facebook type platform, where did you learn those sorts of skills? And what advice do you have for a business owner who wants to do that?
So I learned the skills through online blogs, and really how do I optimize my Facebook ad? And literally, if there's a question that you have, just Google it. And then from there, we really just assemble all of the best practices, write them down. What's the best practice for taglines? Write that. What's the best practice for images? What's the best practice for subtext? What's the best practice for landing pages? What's the best practice for driving a customer through the cart? And then you start seeing all the trends, and does my business follow that best practice? If no, then I will make a change and see how that measured difference works out for the business.
So your strategy on that, is it to drive people to your website, or do you have another a retail page as part of that? Where is that click taking people to?
It takes it right to our website.
Right to your website. Mm-hmm. And then you can chart. Do you have a social media director that keeps track of all that, or is that your job?
No, we have a social media director that keeps track of all of it. We use a content calendar through a free, or I think it's $9.99. We use Smartsheets to create our content calendar. So we have our calendar scheduled 6 months out every day of the week between blog posts, mixtapes on our SoundCloud, what we're going to push for an email blast, what the content's going to be on an email blast. You have to remember it's social. You have to be talking to people. And the best way that I can describe it is we are competing for somebody's attention, like you said, right in between their friends and family. So are you a company that people want to see between pictures of kittens and their nephew being born?
Or since we're Shrimp Tank, shrimps treadmills or the little viral videos that are on there.
Yeah. Well, and really, I think it's been in the last couple of years that social media marketing has changed, because that it wasn't the same 3 years ago or in 2012 when you really took hold. It's changed dramatically over the last 2 years, hasn't it?
It has. When Facebook went public and they changed up all their algorithms, it definitely changed how we did business. We saw our social media engagement drop, and it wasn't until we figured out the ad platform, or at least got our first stab into it, that we saw our numbers come back in line. So you can't really see Facebook as a, you know, as just as a quippy platform that people use on their phone to again, take a look at pictures of kittens. But what they need to do is they really need to take a look at it as a legitimate media and advertising platform.
Are there types of businesses or industries that lend themselves more to that Facebook advertising?
I will say flip-flops.
Okay.
Specifically combat flip-flops.
So everybody else just throw in the towel and you can pretty much dominate
it's
the
ours.
Space?
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, Griff, you strike me as somebody who's just laser focused on that and has a very clear idea of what social media platform is working for you. Speaking of laser focus, I'd like to take you back to the Shark Tank. And I know I watched that episode, and the sharks were having a debate amongst themselves, and it had to do with the diversity of your products, because I think you do more than just flip-flops. I know that flip-flops is your main focus, but you do other things. And there was some conversation in the Shark Tank about that. Could you expand on that?
Definitely. We drive 70% of our revenue through footwear. So it's not that whole 80-20 rule that most entrepreneurs learn, that 20% of your products, which it is, 20% of our SKU count counts for nearly 70% of our revenue. So it's nearly in line. We do offer other products. We offer jewelry made out of landmines from Laos that clear demining efforts. We offer neckties made by veterans here in the U.S. that funds veterans education. We make messenger bags right here made in Washington State in a veteran-owned facility. So we do expand beyond the footwear. And the reason we did that is because footwear sells really well between flip-flops, specifically between March and August. But when the weather starts rolling around here in the Northwest, you're really not feeling like flip-flops. And so your revenue will dive off. So how do you diversify your product line to drive in bits of revenue throughout the year so that way you're not rice and beans October through February? And that was our model, as we brought out additional lines that fit with our mission, fit with our values, good for the holidays, good for gift seasons, but still our focus is on footwear.
Right. And is my memory correct? A couple of the sharks dropped out because they were concerned about that diversity?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, Hergovic dropped out, and then Kevin dropped out.
Right. Well, yeah. We'll talk about Kevin later.
Yeah.
Did you go to a Dallas Mavericks game with Mark Cuban? I was kind of just thinking that. Did he invite you to the front row of a Mavericks game?
No, not yet. We're gunning for number one in his portfolio. I'm sure okay. If I get to that spot, we'll become good enough friends for that seat.
Or the front row to the debate.
Or the front row of the debate too. See, I'm thinking Mavericks first. I do have a legit question though. I started thinking, we were talking about Facebook and social media, and it made me think a little bit about video and YouTube or Vimeo or whatever it is, the ability to create some ads, some television ads that you can run. Have you started looking at that yet? Is that in your future?
We've always been a video company.
Oh, you have?
We believe that for our mission, it's so outlandish that we can't tell people. We have to show them. And we do it with video.
Okay.
So we've been Vimeo, YouTube from the beginning. And a lot of people don't understand this, but YouTube is the number two search engine on the planet.
I think it's part of it. I think because it's Google owns it now, I believe.
I believe so. But you, how many times do you go, look, hey, how do I do this on YouTube?
Right.
And so it drives that many searches. Oh.
You mean from a straight search standpoint?
Okay. But I was looking at it this morning because we're debating on how we do video. Do we do it native in Facebook or we do it on YouTube? And the algorithms say that if you do a native Facebook video, you'll get 8 times the impressions of a YouTube video posted on Facebook.
So when you say native, talk a little bit about that.
It means I create the video, the file, I film it, we produce it, we put our logos and music on it, and then we upload the file directly to Facebook.
Instead of YouTube,
and then linking it over to
how? What was the numbers again?
I believe it was 8-1 was the stat that I was looking at.
Wow,
you know that is amazing that you bring that up, and not to take us totally off track, but changing a light bulb in one of my vehicles, I learned to do that off of YouTube, and I have to fix a printer at my house. And thank goodness there are people who actually take the time to film those sorts of things, because I can actually, repair it. So you're exactly right. I mean, there's so much information out there that you can garner through social media. And I think it's an incredibly effective tool for businesses. So we're going to take a short break here. And we're going to come back. We've got a couple of fun segments that we want to roll into. After that, we're going to get Griff to play along. Seems like somebody who will.
You know this.
But you're here, so you're going to have to play along. So with that, again, this is the Seattle edition of the Shrimp Tank, and we will be back in just a moment.
Seattle Shrimp Tank is brought to you by Toro Consulting and Dan Whedon. Dan Whedon helps small and medium-sized businesses to grow, protect, and transfer the owner's wealth. Dan helps through developing growth strategies to increase revenue, create resiliency programs to protect the owner's equity and wealth, and assist in the transfer of that wealth to the owner so that they can live the lifestyle they desire. Bottom line, Dan cares about maximizing your bottom line by unleashing your potential. For more information, visit danwhedon.com.
I think I need to come up. I have extra time on that commercial because of all of your extra stuff. I think I can maximize my time next time. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Where's your disclosure?
Yeah. I'll come up with one. Hey, Griff, I've got great news for you. We have a segment that we're going to call Rapid Fire. That means that you get to answer my stupid questions as quickly as possible. I'm going to give you 7 questions in rapid fire. First thing that comes into your head. Okay?
Send it.
All right. Number one, favorite color?
Red.
Best military movie ever?
Saving Private Ryan.
Favorite business book?
The Way of the Tiger, Gentle Wisdom for Turbulent Times.
Ah. Number four is the place you go when you need to get away from it.
I go hiking on my local mountains.
And for those of you who are in the Seattle area, you know we have some of those mountains. So they're available. Number five, who would you rather fight? A giant, a shark, or a zombie?
I'd go with a zombie.
Why?
Easiest.
Easiest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rule number one is cardio. I'm good with that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Do you prefer dogs, cats, or fish?
It goes by the day. I love my dog. But as a business owner, you know, you don't get to spend as much time with them. So I'm going to go dog. I'm going to stay dog.
Good. And we'll talk because my dog is the CEO of my corporation. And so there's a way that you can make that work. And so
we need to learn more about that.
Well, you learn more about Captain Jack in a little bit. Final one. This may be the toughest. The year Army will finally beat Navy.
2016.
Go Army.
Thank you for playing. You win absolutely nothing.
Well, good. Well, Griff, we're going to roll into another segment that we have here, and it's called Hot or Not. So this is an opportunity for you to kind of give your perspective on certain things in a business, and you can just say hot or not, and then we might ask you why. So I think I know the answer to this one, but a business plan.
Hot.
Okay, and expand on that a little bit.
I look at it as a business plan as a living document. As a living order, set your objectives, where you're going to go and how you're going to get there. Place names and responsibilities on it with benchmark timelines and goals and make sure your math backs it up.
Excellent. Well, good. Taking on equity partners.
I would rather hammer my own toes flat than do that.
I think I take that it's a not.
Not.
On that one.
That's a not. But that's interesting because you do have some equity partners, do you not?
I do, and they are fantastic equity partners. The process of getting there was pretty brutal. We went through, I'd have to say, we pitched 20 to 25 people before we found somebody that, one, had the values that aligned with ours. Two, they had the ability to contribute more cash when we grew. And three, they were going to take on a mentorship role for us, which are our criteria for investors.
That's excellent.
I learned a lot, but I would not do it again.
Okay. So I'm not sure if this is a bridge that your company has crossed or not, but incorporate or not incorporate?
I'm going to abstain from that one. I don't really have a decision on that.
Oh, plead the fifth is later.
Okay.
But we'll let you abstain. That's fair.
Can I do a couple of the hot or nots
there? Absolutely.
I needed to flip the page. I wasn't very quick on that.
There you go.
I apologize. So, by the way, how many employees do you have?
We have 9 right now.
9 employees. Pay out bonuses to employees. They're all listening too, by the way, I'm sure.
Hot. We believe in full disclosure and transparency with our company. We think that everybody should know that they're contributing in a very positive manner. And we shall share in that success.
Promote from within.
Hot. Train the people to be the master.
Can I ask, I have a quick follow-up question on promote from within. One of the challenges I know with working with small businesses is the promotion from within sometimes takes an employee who is really, really good at what they did and puts them into a managerial position without training that they're not so good in. And so what they've done is they've lost a good employee, and now they have a poor manager. Any thoughts on that?
There's a great book about it. It's called The E-Myth and the Entrepreneurial Myth, and it talks about going from being a technician to being a manager and the roles and responsibilities that you must learn to be a successful manager. Read the book.
Okay. Yeah, so now that you bring that up, I want to take a slight departure. Because this is a conversation that I've had with my older girls who are recently graduated from college within the last year or two. and are out in corporate America. And you bring up an important point that I'd love to get your perspective on, because I'm having, as a father, the opportunity to listen to their challenges that they're having in the workplace for kind of the first time. And one of the things that I really emphasize to them a lot is that there's a significant difference between management and leadership. Could you expand on that a little bit, Griff? First of all, I'm going to ask, do you agree with that comment? And if you do, if you could expand on that a little bit.
I completely and totally agree with that comment.
Excellent. We might actually invite you back now.
I've never been asked to describe it before, so I'm going to do this just off the cuff. I think that management is the mechanical task of interacting with people to accomplish an objective. I think leadership is doing those same mechanical tasks, but also inspires your team to be better than it was yesterday.
Yeah. Now, Dan, I know you have a lot of experience with business owners, consulting with them, and talking about that. And I'm not sure what your perspective is, but I'd love to get it, because I think there's a massive confusion in the industry, just in general, in America, we could say, between leadership and management. And I think for many individuals, although in my mind, it's an incredibly distinct difference. Do you think there's a lot of people who blur those lines?
I think it's blurred all the time. And I think that's because the verbiage that is used all around us tends to blur that. I think it's interesting your comments, because you've come from a military background where I don't think there's a lot of blurring of lines who the leaders, you know, are and what their roles are. While I think managers need to have some leadership skills, I look at leadership as really from a strategic standpoint, that there's a visioning that's being created, and there is whatever the mission of that company is, that organization, leaders have to influence others. I talk about that in my book, Unleashed Leadership, is that it's about influencing others within your organization and transferring those skills that are needed to meet that. And I think it's a very important aspect. And I think it does get lost, especially in the small business market.
Yeah. And I think that your point about the e-myth, turning from, you know, a technician and somebody who's, that's one of the challenges I think that we face in the financial services industry, because a lot of individuals grow up in the industry as technicians, when what I believe that we really need in our industry is leadership. Somebody has got to lead the relationship and lead that team.
So I'll just go to the military definition. The three tenets of leadership are purpose, direction, and motivation. So giving somebody a purpose, providing them the direction, and also making sure they're motivated to do it of their own volition. That's right. Leadership.
So motivation. Let's talk a little bit about that, Griff, because I know there must be something that not only for you, but for your other business partners, Donald Lee and Andy Suri, right? As well as obviously the Sharks and your employees. What is the kind of overarching motivation that gets you up every single day to go produce flip-flops and the other items that you do?
Little girls going to school.
Okay.
That's it. So that's it. If we don't go to work, little girls don't go to school.
Okay. Can you tell me more about that?
So our belief is that we can kill radicalism with education and employment. Our combat flip-flop side, our product base, is taking care of the employment side, where we put people to work in conflict zones. So that way the parents can earn a livelihood. So that way the kids can spend time in school. If we educate those kids in school, they will not be radicalized, because they will not be out on the street begging for money, looking for a job. And they will not fall susceptible to radical groups. So if we're going to kick it terrorists in the teeth, we'll do it with some combat flip-flops and putting women in school.
No. You know, the interesting thing in expounding on that is you really answered the question, because, you know, the first thing that you said was sending little girls to school because. And I think that's an important part of any organization, as they start to look, here's what we want to do, but there's a because. You have to peel away a little bit more at the onion as well, don't you?
You do. Yeah, people need to know why. And then we say in special operations, what makes the difference between a conventional soldier and a special operations soldier? And it always comes down to why. a special operations soldier is always going to ask why. Why is it this way? And then they're going to go, well, how can I make it better? And then they're going to go, okay, what do I need to make it better? And they follow it all the way through. And our goal is to lead people and say, this is what we're doing. Here's why. Here's how. And this is when we're going to do it. So as a company, that's what we're trying to provide.
So I'm sure you're not going to be, you know, satisfied with where you are. So let me ask you, for Combat Flip-Flops, what's next?
We are launching a major U.S. retailer in 2 weeks in San Diego, California, with a major media release. So if people want to find out where that is, they can tune in on our Facebook page Friday at 1 p.m.
Excellent.
Yes. So you see how that works?
So yeah.
So you're not going to tell us.
No.
We're going to have to tune in.
But I'm guessing that they can just literally go on Facebook and put in the search engine, Combat Flip-Flops, and they're going to come up to you, right?
Facebook.com/combatflipflops. And okay. Then Friday at 1 p.m., we're going to do a live broadcast. So Facebook Live, and Donald Lee, our CMO, is going to do the release.
Now, I'm going to tell you, this is great radio right now. I'm going on my cell phone at this minute, and I am going to go on Facebook. I'm sure everybody can just visualize me doing it. I'm going to go on. I'm going to like the page right now.
I encourage everybody to do the same thing.
So everybody within my listening voice, you're listening to us, take out and find Combat Flip-Flops and like the page.
Well, good. We've got just a few minutes remaining in our podcast. This has been a phenomenal conversation, and it's the type of conversation, you know, it's great when you can hardly believe the time has already gone. We could be sitting here for hours, but we want to have a little more fun, and so this is an opportunity to plead the fifth.
Do I get to weigh in on the debates later?
Yes, we will. In fact, okay. we'll let you kind of wrap up with that, because that would be an interesting perspective. So why don't we keep this relatively short? So plead the fifth. Again, you know, number one entrepreneurial show in America, Shark Tank. And what's the juiciest detail that you have on any of the sharks?
Nobody talks to Mark Cuban.
Really?
He's very organized, and he does the majority of his communications through emails. So that way he can keep track of everything, and he can answer at all hours of the night.
Okay. So on that same Shark Tank theme for Plead the Fifth, is Kevin O'Leary really like that?
He is really like that.
Okay.
I'm sure he's a nice shining personality, but when we were standing on the carpet, he was giving it to us with both barrels and we were firing right back. So it was a good time.
Okay. So in the few minutes that you've been talking with Dan and I, what are your impressions of us?
He's going to plead the fifth. He's going to plead the fifth on that one, I think.
Brad, I think you need to grow a beard.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah. So for our listeners that don't have the opportunity to see us, but
that's a great segue.
It is
too,
a fantastic segue, because one of the things that we're going to do at the end of our podcast is we're going to do a video section of the Shrimp Tank. About 5 to 8 minutes that we'll record a few things. So you get to see our shining faces. And I'm going to pull a Griff, which is tune in and see why Griff made that comment, right?
So yep. That's called a teaser.
They definitely need to do that. So Griff, we promise you, we give you an opportunity to weigh in on the debates. So I think this would be a good opportunity for us to give the mic over to you.
I think right now our country is looking for leadership, and we need to see something different that's coming out of both parties. I thought on the Republican side, we would have been more prepared. When I say we, I mean as a nation, not me as a person or a company or affiliation with the Republican Party, but it's the presidential debate, and rhetoric is only going to get you so far. We have real problems facing this country, and we need people to fix them.
Yeah. So were you thinking that there would be a different person or people standing up there, or the people that were standing up there would come at it a different direction?
I think that the preparation that we put into Shark Tank would be fractional compared to the preparation that should have gone into that presidential debate. And I just don't think the preparation was there on the Trump side. On the Clinton side, I think she did a good job of reciting her points, but again, we're not hearing anything new. And I think, again, from both parties, we're lacking leadership and an honest direction that's giving us purpose you know, when we go back to the three fundamentals of leadership, did they give you a purpose? Did they give you direction? Did they give you motivation? And I didn't feel that from either party last night.
So let me add a quick plead the fifth while we're counting down. Is it time to make to see if we can get a third party candidate or somebody who's an independent or somebody like Gary Johnson to be able to be part of these debates?
I agree. If people say that it can't happen, well, then I guess Abraham Lincoln didn't get into office. Third party candidate that wasn't supposed to happen. What happened to America? When did we stop believing in these miracle long shots from actually coming to fruition? If people actually got behind actual substance instead of rhetoric, we might actually be able to make a change in this country.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to see how November turns out. And of course, I guess we've got a couple more debates. They actually called this 25% done because I guess there's a vice presidential debate that's happening next Tuesday, followed by two more debates. And the speculation already flying of whether they somebody is going to show up or not. But I just hope that the main thrust of this, that whoever wins the office does right by our country and not only keeps us safe and secure, but promotes an economy that really supports business owners and entrepreneurs, since that's what we're all focused on here, at least at the Shrimp Tank for today. So I want to thank so much my co-host Dan Whedon, as well as Matt Griffin, for coming in, sharing his story. And we certainly would encourage you to go visit his website, www.combatflipflops.com, not only to check out all of the products that they have out there that are going to such a worthy cause, but also a little bit about their background, as well as Facebook page and their big announcement on Friday at 1 p.m.
Big announcement, Friday, 1 p.m., facebook.com.
Right. And come back and join us next week.
Yeah, so we will be broadcasting.
Or not in 2 weeks. Yeah, in two weeks. I'm sorry, in two weeks.
And we would encourage all of our listeners to check out seattle.shrimptankpodcast.com. You can read a little bit more about our bios, our background. You can see what we look like, as well as learn about all our upcoming shows, as well as subscribe to newsletters and make sure you never miss an upcoming episode of the Shrimp Tank. So, again, Griff, thank you so much. Inaugural show. I think we're going to put this one in the can for the podcast. And I'll thank our executive producer, Amber, who's giving me the sign that we are done. Welcome to the Shrimp Tank. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie keep going. You know the saying, you can reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.